Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. It's good to see all of you. Also want to remind you to read through the announcements. We do have things that are going on. Just a couple of things that I do need to mention this morning. One is that since we had to cancel all of our activities last weekend and we canceled the annual meeting, it is being rescheduled for February 15th, and that will be immediately after the worship service. So that's February 15th. The other thing I need to say this morning is that we do have some students who went through First Communion class yesterday, so we ask that you please reserve the first table for those students and their immediate families. So as soon as the ushers have communed, I ask for the families just to come forward at that time. All right, other announcements. Anybody else? Announcements? All right, then I invite you to rise as we start with the brief order for confession and forgiveness. We begin this service in the remembrance of our baptism. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our opening hymn, Brightest and Best of the Stars.
Thank you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, our
pray together the prayer of the day. O God, you know the perilous choices we are prone to make that fall short of your desire for human faithfulness and obedience. Without you, our fragile nature cannot survive. Support us with your word of truth, that we may grow in faith in the midst of our trials. Grant this, we pray, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
A reading from Micah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Hear what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the indictment of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has an indictment against his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me, for I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, devised, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? The word of the Lord. We'll read Psalm 15 responsibly. O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill?
He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart.
Who does not slander with his tongue and does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up reproach against his friend? Who does not put his money out at interest and does not take a bribe against the innocent? He who does these things shall never be moved. Second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 18 through 31. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in the Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I know when I read through Scripture, there always seems to be some kind of surprise or a twist and turn, or somehow I can read the same passage a number of times and something new pops out, something different, something that hits me where exactly I need to be hit. The Beatitudes that we read this morning are somewhat like that. It's full of surprises. And Scripture everywhere is full of surprises. Take, for instance, the story of Abraham and Sarah. Here they were, 90 years old, and throughout the years, God had promised Abraham and Sarah that they would be that they would have many, many descendants. And yet here they were, 90 years old. And then they were told, you will have a child within this year. 90 years old and have children? Sarah even laughed at the idea. But the twist and the surprise happened. Yes, they became parents. Or think about the story of David and Goliath. Here's about a 12-year-old kid going up a battle-seasoned giant of a warrior. Now, who would have bet on this little boy of David? Who would have bet on him? But yet, sure enough, David was able to defeat Goliath. Another surprise in the Bible. Or look at the stories that Jesus told, the parables, like the story of the prodigal son. Here someone is beaten and robbed on the road and half dead. And who comes by but two holy men, two people who represent God. And what do? They walk by on the other side of the road. But then the one who is detested by the Jews is the one who actually helps the Jew. Surprise and twist in the stories that Jesus told, surprise and twist in what the Bible says with what's going on. And so today, that brings us to the Beatitudes. Now, we've read through the Beatitudes a number of times. I know you have heard them a number of times. I think we actually read it every single year, two times a year. So since I've been here, that means we've probably read through it at least 31 or 32 times. So we know this. But yet, if we look at it, there's still surprises in there from what we see compared to this earth. So let's look at some of these. Verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed and mourn don't seem like they ought to go together. When you're blessed, it means that, or it should mean that we are content, we are satisfied, and maybe even more so than that we have more than what we need, that life is good. When you mourn, you are grieving. Something terrible has happened. I'm sure you did not feel very blessed when your mother or father died or grandparents died or maybe a spouse or maybe even a child. You did not feel blessed, I would bet. But yet, Jesus says here, blessed are those who are mourned because they shall be comforted. And that's where the blessings do come in, is when we are comforted. There are other people who are grieving as well. If you have any siblings and your parents died, they are grieving too. Other people are grieving just simply because you are grieving. They have that compassion for you, either friends or family, acquaintances. They grieve along with you. And that brings us comfort, knowing that we are not alone, that we're not isolated. That this isn't, that other people also understand in there. There are blessings
even when we mourn. We learn who our friends are. We learn who loves us. We learn who cares for us when we mourn. Or look at another one. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This too does not sound like, what is he talking about here? But there's a surprise or there's a twist in this one as well too. Blessed are the meek. Now when we think about the meek, we think about those people who are quiet, who are not showy, people who are humble. But a lot of times it's the meek people who get things done. They're the ones that are working behind the scenes. They are not looking for accolades. They're not looking to be praised. They just simply see things that need to be done, and they take care of it. What our society says is that the meek are just, they're just down there. Treat them however you want to. It doesn't matter. What we value in our world is those who get after it, those who make claims, those who grab the things, those who are the loudest, those who are the most powerful, those who grab the most attention. Those are the ones who are supposed to inherit the earth, aren't they? Because they're the ones who are grabbing everything. But it says, no, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Jesus has a way of turning things around, of just turning, flipping things upside down. Or look at another one. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. I bet when somebody does something wrong to you, your first thought is not to give them mercy. Your first thought is I'm going to get even. I'm going to teach them a lesson. I don't like them anymore. They have hurt me, and I am going to retaliate. I want to give them what they deserve. That's our first reaction. That's what we want to do. We want to destroy the other person who has hurt you. But that's not what Jesus is saying here. He says, blessed are the merciful, for they are the ones who will receive mercy. You know, when you hold a grudge, when you constantly try to get even, when you constantly try to hurt somebody because they hurt you, you will never be satisfied. You will never be blessed. Simply because you have that on your mind. When we are merciful, we let it go. It is forgiving somebody else. Maybe they do need to be held to an account for what they did. They need to know how they hurt you, or you need to find out why they hurt you. Let them know what's going on, but at the same time, there is forgiveness. There is mercy in there. And when you forgive somebody, other people see that as well then too. And in a sense then, it becomes contagious. That no, we don't have to get even. That's not the way it's handled. Because when you try to get even, it just escalates. And your enemies become stronger. When you forgive people, when you show mercy to people, you don't gain enemies. You gain friends. You gain companions. Blessed are the merciful. Or look at one more here. Verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Being persecuted, again, is one of those things that nobody enjoys. It's something that nobody wants to go through. When you are persecuted, you are being bullied. People are trying to destroy your reputation. Being persecuted means that other people want to destroy you, to get rid of you, to quiet you, to silence you. They persecute you. They tell lies about you. They try to destroy your reputation. How can you be blessed with somebody hammering at you in that way? But remember, when we follow God, when we follow Christ, we are actually following righteousness. We are following the righteousness. And to hold steady, hold true to that to that tract, to remain faithful, to remain truthful, to remain honest is tough sometimes, and not to lash out and try to destroy whoever your enemies are that are trying to destroy you. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus gave lots of examples of these things in his life. Jesus turned things upside down. The people of old were looking for a Messiah. They had waited and wanted and prayed for a Messiah to come and to restore Israel back to its glory. And what they were looking for then was a great conqueror, a strong man, a mighty king, someone who would be feared by all their enemies, someone who would be able to conquer all the enemies. And then Jesus shows up on the scene. And people started to talk about that he is the Messiah. And he did do many wonderful things. People saw how the signs that he did, turning water into wine, walking across water, healing the sick. But the thing is, he was doing it to all the wrong people. I mean, he was going out to those who were beggars, to those who were sinners, to the hated tax collectors. He was going to those who were diseased. He was talking to the lowest of low in society. He paid attention then even to the low caste of women. He's messing around. Why is Jesus messing around? How come he's not building an army? Where's his craftiness? Where's his maneuvering? Where is his politics going? Why is he just messing around with all these lowlifes? People did not understand Jesus, and as a result, he gained enemies. Even though people were following him, he was also gaining enemies. And it was the enemies then who plotted how to take his life. And when that came to pass, his disciples said, "We will stand up with you." Well, one ended up betraying him. Another one ended up denying him. The rest of them scattered. And you think about it. There was nobody there who defended him during his trials. There were few there when he was crucified. And they had hope that this was the Messiah. They knew him to be the Messiah. But how did this happen? And then came the greatest surprise of all. Jesus did rise from the dead. People don't just rise from the dead, but Jesus rose from the dead. God conquered sin. God conquered the devil. God conquered death. Jesus rose from the dead for new life. And if you think about that whole story of what Jesus did, Jesus was one who did mourn. He mourned the loss of his good friend Lazarus. If you look at these Beatitudes, blessed are the meek. Again, Jesus was meek. He did not defend himself when he was put on trial. Blessed are the merciful. Jesus was full of mercy and forgiveness. Many times he did tell people, "Your sins are forgiven. Get up and go." Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And if there's not anybody who's is more righteous, it is Jesus Christ. And yet he was still persecuted. Jesus knew what he was talking about when he said these Beatitudes. He lived the Beatitudes. For us as well then too, you know, we mourn. We're persecuted at times. People do things wrong to us and we want to retaliate. We live these Beatitudes as well then too. And we just need to remember that as baptized Christians, we are blessed. We have been given that gift of the Holy Spirit. We have been given that gift of eternal life. We have been given the promise that God will be with us always till the end of the age. We just need to remember when times get rough, when they get tough, when things don't go the way that we had planned, when things seem to be falling apart, that we are still blessed. Even in our lowest points, we are still blessed because God is with us. We continue to follow Jesus Christ. We continue to follow in righteousness. We continue to follow in love and in mercy. And for that, we are blessed. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn for the day, The Church's One Foundation.
Please rise for the confession of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray that the light of Christ may shine upon the church, the world, and all people according to their need. Father, thank you for Jesus and his teaching. His Beatitudes challenge, humble, and energize us. Give us a double portion of your Holy Spirit, so that by your grace we may begin to live out those Beatitudes to your glory and for the blessing and benefit of others. Lord, in your mercy. Make each member of this congregation into disciples of Jesus, so that we may love justice, do mercy, and walk humbly before you, and then be a sign of your goodness and mercy to our friends, families, neighbors, and community. Lord, in your mercy. Raise up pastors, theologians, professors, deacons, and other Christian leaders who earnestly and patiently seek your will and who teach others by word and by example to do the same. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for our earthly rulers, whether or not we agree with them. Conform their minds, hearts, and actions to your holy will. Help them to strengthen bonds of respect and trust in every community across our nation. Lord, in your mercy. Bless, heal, and strengthen the sick and the sorrowful, including those we name before you. Lynn Magura, Elaine Molina, Rosa Harton, Joe Barnes, Janet Lemke, Marge Wilhelmson, Erlene Jalufka, Nick Picard, Marchie Bolting, Nash Staten, and Lord, we also pray for rain. We also pray for women who are pregnant, who have recently given birth, especially those whose health is imperiled, for parents who have lost a child, for newborn infants, especially those at risk of illness or injury, for all fathers, and for everyone who cares and rejoices in the gift of new life. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you see that we need, grant to us, dear Father, for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated. Let us pray. Merciful God, in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you embrace our lives with your great love and humanity. With
with joy and gladness we ask that these gifts may be for men to be signed by God, and that we may continue to share in your divine life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. And in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come, for all is ready. Body of Christ. The blood of Christ shed for you. Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O God, and unite the wills of those whom you have fed with one heavenly food. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace.
Amen.
Our closing hymn, Beautiful Savior. Go in peace, serve the Lord. As we go in peace, we share that peace with each other. The peace of the Lord be with you.